Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, down to Monterey.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, Emily, I'm not kidding you. They break plates, and she sells them plates to break up against a wall. We're ready to go with the show. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. But Audrey, thanks so much for getting us started. We could not do it without you. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen, and to the Jumbled Justice Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Haley. Johnny Cash, you did it one more time. You take us on that fabulous trip across the United States to 90 cities and states. And, of course, Johnny Cash does sing that song from memory, if you've ever heard him do it or seen him perform that live. Mike, Emily, thank you for joining us also tonight. Thank you for your research on the news issues. Ladies and gentlemen, our purpose is always the same on the show. We try to discuss the major news issues and events and developments in the always difficult field of criminal justice. And sometimes it's a little bit humorous. I think we have a couple of examples tonight where we could turn the story a little bit and find some humor. Some don't need turning, unfortunately. Our show is dedicated to the tireless police, court, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and around the world. And we're certainly sympathetic to that small number percentage that are going to be losing their jobs. Up here in Toledo, Ohio, I think they're planning on laying off 45 police officers. Chicago is going to be short. They may be going to lay some off, and I'll have more to comment about the Chicago police tonight. But we hope something happens that they hold their jobs. What we try to do on the show is look inside criminal justice and take a close-up look at its professionals and the way they practice. And we enjoy doing that each week, and we've done it for more than 2 years, actually. The Blog Talk Radio Network is what you're listening to, and it's a leading-edge technology. It just keeps getting bigger and better. The genius of that medium is Alan Levy, who started a little over 2 years ago, in September, I believe it was, with a small conversation with members of his family. Now there are literally thousands of shows on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and it's now one of the top 100 websites in the world, along with MySpace and Google and iTunes and sites like that. So it's a remarkable success story. You know, people are picking up on this. I've told you, maybe they heard me talk about it, but any person in the interest group, any organization can have their own show. They can broadcast live and streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. And the cost is what? It's absolutely free. I just saw on the billing up there one of the feature shows they were sticking up. I mean, they asked me every now and then to go, you know, to go feature and advertising. I really don't want to do that. I'm not sure how far we would go anyway. But nevertheless, Montel Williams now has a show on Blog Talk Radio Network. You would recognize personality after personality if you went searching around, and probably were competing with 10 of them tonight at 9 o'clock. We're not really competing with them, but it is absolutely free. So organizations can do this. They can have their own radio show, like their own radio station. The shows are immediately archived. So what happens there is that somebody can download the show within about 5 minutes after it's done and use it. And we know that some people do this once in a while for uses in classrooms around the country, because they've written and spoken to me about that. And there's absolutely no problem in doing that. I have no problem with you using the show in a class when we have a featured speaker or something that interests you. So get your own show is what I keep saying. Tonight's show is going to be another one. We haven't done that many, a Boston Blackie show, but I think folks that have some knowledge of me and my interests, we know that if there's four sides of ropes and a fight going on inside, I sort of enjoy it. To boxing and wrestling tonight is a Boston Blackie show. And Audrey, you did a little research for us, didn't you, tonight, to tell us a little bit about the history of Boston Blackie. And I think people will be very surprised about how extensive that show was researched and some of the players that were in it and how long the show ran. But tonight's one about a wrestler who I think we can tell isn't too smart. But we end up with a death in the ring, and I think you'll truly enjoy this show. Well, what you can do, you can call into the show if you'd like to do that, and that number is 347-996-5983, or you can click a talk button there on your website and do the same thing. If you have a microphone and they plug you right into the show, we can hold as many as five people at once on the switchboard, and we can all talk to each other. So, please do that in the news segment of the show when we get to the uploaded audio that I have on the Boston Blackie segment. We wouldn't be able to answer your call. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to our listening audience, every now and then we have somebody that is new. Audrey England, who's the primary host of our show, she actually gets this whole thing going, does a lot of the research, gives me show ideas. Audrey is a blonde, and she is from London, England, and she is a collector of blonde jokes. She has the largest collection of blonde jokes, I suspect, of anyone in the world, and she has another one for us tonight. And Audrey, what's, okay, I know, I've heard this one. You told me this one before. I think we were at lunch, and you told me this one. So let's go ahead with Audrey's blonde joke, and I hope you enjoy it. In fact, I know our listeners enjoy them. They've told me.
Well, Professor Haley, tonight I think we have the shortest blonde joke we have ever broadcast on the show. Okay. The blonde is asked about a choice she has to make. I hope our listeners will enjoy it. Here it is. This executive was interviewing a young blonde for a position in his company. He wanted to find out something about her personality, so he asked, "If you could have a conversation with someone, living or dead, who would it be?" The blonde quickly responded, "The living one."
All right. Thank you very much, Audrey. The living one. Good answer. She probably moved forward in the selection process. Ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious note, and we know that there are still firearms out on the street in the hands of both law-abiding citizens and criminals. And we have an audio that we play each week, a public service announcement brought to us by the Ohio Coalition, Gun Coalition. And what we're going to do is play that again tonight, and we hope it falls on the right ears in that the gangbangers, street thugs, will go turn their firearms into the police, because I think that's who this message is directed toward. So let's go ahead and hear the Ohio Coalition message. It's a good one.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. And again, we appreciate your message each week, and we know that it's a valuable public service. Well, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the criminal justice news is so bizarre. We could take an extensive, but we could take two or three nights to go with it. But I'm going to feature probably about six stories tonight that about four of them to me are just incredible. And you'll get my commentary, whether you like it or not, on some of these stories. But a couple of them I just don't get. But anyway, here in the world of bizarre criminal justice news, what's that old thing, that saying that says you ain't dead until you're dead? Well, there's a poor guy down in Tennessee. He has thought he was dying. He was on his deathbed. He wanted to clear his conscience. In fact, he was a church-going man in Oklahoma. That wasn't where the murder was committed. And he killed a man back in 1977, and he confessed to the killing, and guess what? Well, it was in Tennessee 32 years ago. The James Brewer, he could now face the death penalty because he lived. He didn't die. Isn't that incredible? The 58-year-old man who had fled Tennessee after the killing was arrested after his condition improved. He said he wanted to cleanse his soul because he thought he was going to the great beyond, said police detective Tony Grasso, who interviewed Mr. Brewer at an Oklahoma hospital. Mr. Brewer had reportedly moved to Oklahoma from Tennessee after jumping bail after he was originally arrested and charged with Mr. Carroll's murder in 1977. He settled down, married, joined a Bible study group, was living this life, got sick, and thought he was going to die after a stroke, and he didn't. An interesting one for the Supreme Court to take a look at, wouldn't it? I thought I was dead, so it's my confession should be invalid. It's based on phony circumstance. So we'll have to see how that thing turns out. Audrey, you and Emily, both being from England, I think you'll enjoy and be interested in this story, and I know your position that you have on this type of extra surveillance, shall we say that in England, extra surveillance of the citizens and their organizations, their businesses, etc. But maybe they have gone about as far as they can go. I say that every time I talk about British surveillance, but I'm not sure. So tonight, let me tell you about this particular news story, really kind of an interesting one. In Britain, of course, they're monitored by CCTV about every place they go. They have more cameras than any other place in the world. They have speed cameras. They even have spy cameras inside of dustbins. So they're snooping on the public at an unprecedented rate. No place in the world even matches to it. But now, guess what they are doing? You couldn't get it if I gave you 100 years. They're now using thermal imaging cameras flying in planes. And what they're doing is flying over the top of houses and businesses, and they're trying to determine which homes are wasting energy. I kid you not. City Council in one of the cities there has spent £30,000 using a spy plane. It carries a thermal image camera, and they're trying to figure out which homes are wasting the most energy. The scheme's already underway in Bodleian District Council in Norfolk. He said the exercise has been so successful, other local authorities are planning to follow suit. Critics are worried about this. Of course, they say the crackdown was a number example of local authorities extending their charter to poke their noses into every aspect of people's lives. But what they're going to do is tell you, and the map comes back color-coded. If you come out real red, your house shows up real red, that means that you have the most energy escaping your house, and they're going to go tell you to insulate your home. Of course, the premise is that you'll be saving more energy. But guess what? You'll be releasing less heat into the atmosphere and then allowing us to sustain the planet. So we now have planes flying over residences and businesses in England and telling people how much heat they're emitting or they're losing. And they're saying that when these homes get the proper kind of insulation, that they can reduce their carbon emissions by around 2 tons annually. And boy, that strikes at your heart cord, doesn't it? That to reduce your carbon footprint by 2 tons. So just when you think you've heard it all, I think maybe our energy secretary, Mr. Chu, he would come up with something like this. I don't know. I heard him the other day in a public service announcement. I would think they had more to do, but perhaps not. And he was telling us that we could save money in driving our cars if we slowed down a little bit, you know, went like 10 miles per hour under the speed limit. And if you have a long idle at a traffic stop, an intersection, then you can turn your car off. Now, can you imagine the horn honking and other accidents that might cause at the intersection while you're trying to get your car started if it's an older model and something happens to it? But just absolutely incredible that this is going on. Now, here's an article that I would love to read, the entire article for you, but I can't. But this is just absolutely incredible to me, and I'm going to make this the next article as soon as I find it here in the stack or the list. But it's about what states are doing, and your Times article appeared yesterday. It's about what states are doing to cut costs. They're relaxing prison policies. They're saying for nearly three decades, most states have dealt with ball breakers in two ways: lock more of them up for longer periods of time and build more prisons to hold them. If you ever see my co-authored book with Dr. Mark Stallo on crime and punishment in the Lone Star State, we have a chapter in there, a section in there about the great prison buildup in Texas. Well, they almost doubled their size of prisons in, you know, less than 10 years. Some states like Colorado and Kansas, they're closing prisons. Many state governments are out of money, and they're buried under mounting prison costs. Others like New Jersey have replaced jail time with community programs or other sanctions for people who violate parole. We've done that in Ohio. Kentucky lawmakers passed a bill this month that enhances the credits that some inmate can earn toward early release. You know, a lot of states did away with good time. That's if you act good. Instead of getting credit for one day in jail or prison, you get credit for maybe two or three. They did away with those. Well, now it seems like good time is back, maybe under another name. We always change the names of things in criminal justice when they reappear. Michigan's doing a little bit of all this, it says, and they've closed prisons, and they're freeing some offenders who have yet to serve their maximum sentence. Governor Bill Richardson, he just signed a legislation. Wasn't totally happy about it, that did away with the state's death penalty. And, you know, each death penalty case costs about $2.5 million, maybe as much as $3 million because of the appeals and the length of time it takes to get through all those. But being tough on crime and sentencing has long been the clear path toward job retention for state lawmakers, Republicans and Democrats alike. But the economic crisis, this New York Times article says, is forcing them to take a more pragmatic approach, as prisoners are increasingly seen less as indistinct wrongdoers and more as expenses that have to be reined in. So recessions tend to prompt these kind of things, and some of the things are just incredible. They're doing away, you know, they want to do away with parole in some of these states. Because you know what a parole officer does? They catch their parolees violating more crime. New Jersey just recently implemented a program for offenders on parole with technical violations, like failing to report a parole officer or reporting to one or changing their address without the approval. Rather than being returned to jail, I seriously doubt that for that minor type of violation they'd be returned to jail, but or prison, they can say that. But by not allowing the parole officers to work anymore, they expect on saving millions of dollars. Of course, Schwarzenegger in California, the governor, he's strapped for money. So states are increasingly consolidating operations, closing prisons, sending the nonviolent offenders home from prisons. Drug offenders, I won't even go through the long article about what New York State is doing right now, is in the Times today. And what they're doing is pretty much saying, if you're going to get treatment as a drug offender, you're not going to be getting confinement time. So really kind of interesting. Some states, they say they've revised parole and sentencing, and that they are simply going to be letting people out. So this means more criminals on the street. Now, all that time, when I read you part of this article, and I read probably a third of it, did you notice, and the second two-thirds would, each of the other thirds would read the same, did you notice something was missing? Mike? He knows. Not one time in this multi-page article is the word crime ever mentioned. Can you believe it? In other words, can we seriously think that releasing all these people to save money is actually going to save money when all these criminals hit the street and they start committing their crimes again, most of you folks realize that people in prison have been there before. They've been there two and three times. So they're not new guys when it comes to showing up for the intake process at your state or local prison. So not one time do they ever mention the word crime, and I think you know, if you've studied criminal justice a little bit, crime peaked up into the 90s, leveled off, went up high, 60s and 70s, peaked through the 80s, stayed high, inched up a little bit in the 90s, and then, based on the sort of delayed effect of locking up and getting tough on crime, we went down to the point where 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we've had the lowest crime rates we've had in 50 years. Now that the crime is low, what do we always do? We start to let them out. We've been through the treatment thing. Okay, you want the treatment story? On public radio this morning, I'm listening and I'm hearing the commentator interview a woman who has a successful business in downtown San Diego. I'm not sure what the name was. I don't recall. Maybe it was the Big Smash or something like that. But she is treating, quote unquote, people with anger management problems who you really just want to get back at somebody. She has them come into her store, pay a fee. She gives them a certain amount of glass plates. You are allowed to write your name or names of people on the plate that you're mad at. And then you throw the plates at a wall and break them. And she has return customers. And she says she's never seen a person leave her store where they went in and broke some plates up against a wall that was more angry when they left. They brought in a psychology commentator right after that and says, well, this is a bunch of baloney. But she swears that this has been a very successful thing. Now, you know, we've been talking about these angry criminals on the street and the unfortunate, terrible case of that vermin in California shooting the four Oakland officers who've been in prison, let out, probably he was a suspect in another murder, and then these cops came upon him and ended up shooting for him. They kept saying he was angry. He was angry. So do you actually think, Mike, Emily, Audrey, that there's a possibility that plate throwing could be the next new thing in offender rehabilitation? So all these prisons would have to do is have a section. Maybe they don't have to send them to prison. To send them to a place where they can throw plates and break them up against a wall. We'll have to see. Prisons have bought sillier things. Remember Scared Straight? But what an incredible story. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the news is not all bad. Let me tell you this. What is happening in the United States, you know, I've been very curious about this this business of, the border war and illegal immigration and all that. Well, never fear. Our federal government, as they very often do, has now come up with a solution. You know, they've been streaming across the border. Go to immigrationcounters.com and see the cost of illegal immigration, the drug smuggling, the drug wars that are going on the borders, the kidnapping now spilling over into the United States. In fact, I heard that the Aristide Juarez now lives in El Paso, which is kind of interesting. He's moved across because he's afraid, but perhaps no longer. Because the United States government has decided to invest, let me get the dollar figure for you here to be correct, $2 million. They're going to destroy the plants in a 1.1-mile stretch of the Rio Grande Riverbank where the drug smugglers and illegal immigrants and robbers hide out. The solution was there all the time, and we never thought of it. So instead of sending more agents and more people down there, perhaps all we need to do is to destroy the plants. And these plants have their own history, of course. The Spanish brought them here. They're not native to that particular area. But they can't quite decide yet, so don't count on this immediate action. They can't quite decide yet how they're going to destroy them. They think that they could pull them out by hand. That's unique. They could spray them. Well, there is the possibility of actually burning them. So this is incredible. And the government will probably have a couple task forces and special committees that will sit down and figure out which way to do that. It's a very complicated situation, says a retired FBI agent. He says, when we think about protecting our border, but let's do it in a sensible reasonable way to make sure humans won't be harmed, nor the vegetation, nor the animals, nor the environment. Does that sound like perhaps we won't be doing anything? But of all the things we could be doing, we are certainly not going to be harming the environment. We're going to destroy the plant some way and hope that that will allow us to catch or to prevent more illegal immigration in the United States. I just love it. I'm from the federal government, I'm here to help you. Isn't that Ronald Reagan's famous quote? Now, let me ask you something else. What happens when these cops get laid off or you can't hire enough cops to man all your police cars on the street? Chicago has the answer. Mayor Daley always has the answer. He's now having the city council augment the police department patrols by using private security guards. They're going to initiate legislation that will allow these private security guards to take on special arrest authority beyond just parking meters and things like that, because they do that anyway. Mayor Daley has been privatizing a lot of things. One of the things he prophesied with the Chicago Skyway, that's been leased to a Spanish conglomerate. That's good for the country. Midway Airport, did you know, is not run by an American company now. It's run by a Canadian company. The parking meters were sold to a firm run by Morgan Stanley. And the result of that is the cost of parking meters have skyrocketed. And, of course, what? The city brings in more income. They just think that these special cruisers will be cheaper. They'll be able to do essentially the same job. If I was part of the Chicago Police Officers Union, I think I'd be screaming right about now and seriously protesting about this. Let's don't kid ourselves. Private security officers aren't commissioned peace officers. They don't meet the same type of standards and never will. But Superintendent Jody Weiss, he calls this, remember, he's the FBI agent, it's a he, that came in and took over the police department. He says that this is a work in progress. So we'll have to see what happens. Well, we have another justice case here. One man injured and one man dead in the Miami Burger King, where a guy came in for you concealed carry holders, going to rob the Burger King, and he got in a shootout with a CCW holder, and the CCW holder unfortunately got shot. He's not dead. He's going to recover, but he killed the robber. In some ways, people would call that justice. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do something different here tonight now, and I think you will enjoy this. We are going to take a look at a Boston Blackie episode. It's called The Wrestling Ring Murder, and the characterization is the characters are really good. And Audrey's done a little bit of research on Boston Blackie, and I think she's going to. Audrey, you ready to tell us a little bit about that now before we go ahead and turn the show on? Go ahead.
Boston Blackie is a fictional character who has been on both sides of the law. As originally created by author Jack Boyle, he was a safecracker, a hardened criminal who had served time in a California prison, prowling the underworld as a detective in adaptations for films, radio, and television. The detective Boston Blackie was an enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend. The Boston Blackie radio series, starring Chester Morris, began June 23, 1944, on NBC as a summer replacement for the Amos and Andy show. Sponsored by Renso, the series continued until September 15 of that year. Unlike the concurrent films, Blackie had a steady romantic interest in the radio show. Leslie Woods appeared as Blackie's girlfriend Mary Wesley. Harlow Wilcox was the show's announcer. On April the 11th, 1945, Rick Hardcolmer took over the title role in a radio series syndicated by Frederick W. Zivda Mutual and other network outlets. Over 200 episodes of this series were produced between 1944 and October the 25th, 1950. Other sponsors included Lifebuoy Soap, Champagne Velvet Beer, and R&H Beer. While investigating mysteries, Blackie invariably encountered harebrained police inspector Faraday Maurice Darklin, and always solved the mystery to Faraday's amazement. Initially, friction surfaced in the relationship between Blackie and Faraday, but as the series continued, Faraday recognized Blackie's talents and requested assistance. Blackie dated Mary Wesley Jen Minor, and for the first half of the series, his best pal Shorty was always on hand. The humorless Faraday was on the receiving end of Blackie's bad puns and wordplay.
All right. Thank you very much for that prelude, Audrey. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy this episode. It's one of the more unusual ones. And again, I think you'll enjoy the characters in this. And it's called The Wrestling Ring Murder.
Hurt. Look, I'm happy. Let me see you pound the mat and scream. Now go ahead and do it.
Okay, Mr. Chase. How is this? How is that, Mr. Chase?
You sound like Tarzan with a toothache. Now practice that, Mike.
Yeah, sure.
All right, both you wrestlers. Now get at it again.
Okay.
Hold it, you mugs. Hold it. Yeah, Joe.
Your partner's here. Got that new wrestler with him in your office.
Oh, thanks. Take a rest, you apes, and then we'll work out a little more.
All right.
Stick around, Joe. I'll need you later.
Okay.
Hello, Henry.
Hiya, Bill. Well, here he is.
What do you think of him, huh?
That's not a man. That's a mountain.
He's never wrestled with anything but hay, but I think we can make a champion out of him. His name is Tiny, of course.
That's
Tiny,
right.
Huh? We'll bill him as... Tiny Mountain.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's all right.
How are you, son? How old are you?
Oh, about 22. I ain't sure.
I'm sure that in a little while you'll beat every map monkey in captivity, even Stretcher Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a cinch to beat Lewis. But Stretcher's manager isn't going to like it.
Hmm?
Now, you know John Farber, Bill. He'd do anything to stop someone spoiling his meal ticket.
I guess that's right. Maybe we ought to stop him before he starts to stop us.
Now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friends.
Where do they hide the house phones in this stupid hotel?
They're around the corner from the desk.
Well,
I saw them when I got Tiny's room. Come on, Henry.
Well, that kid better be in his room.
If he isn't, we'll go up there and lock him in. I think one of us better stick with him all the time. We want this boy to stay clean.
Ah, he's clean as country air, Bill.
But he won't be if he mixes with too many people. We're going to keep him away from everybody. Guys like John Farber, good and bad alike.
You sound like he needs a police guard.
Look, we're keeping him away from police, too. We don't want anybody telling him what kind of a racket he's in.
Well, then somebody better tell him how strong he is, or he'll kill somebody and find himself mixed up with that Inspector Faraday, a homicide. And that'll be bad.
Bad? It'll be worse than that. With Faraday around, we'll find ourselves having trouble with his pal, Boston Blackie. Oh, here are the phones.
Yeah.
Yes?
Let me speak to Tiny Mountain.
Not in his room, sir.
He's not? Where is he?
Left the phone number where it'd be.
And where's that?
At the apartment of a man named Boston Blackie.
Wow.
I'm looking for Boston Blackie.
Congratulations, you found him. I'm Blackie.
Well, howdy. Hey, you sure look just like you do in your pictures. I'm Tiny Culpepper, the wrestler they call Tiny Mountain.
So you're a wrestler, huh?
Yep.
I'd never have guessed it. Well, what can I do for you?
Oh, nothing, Blackie. I just wanted to meet you, that's all. You've been my idol for a long time.
Well, thanks.
Oh, I sure have wanted to meet you. You've been my idol.
You said that. Oh, wait a minute while I scrape some of the clay off my feet. Come in.
Oh, I don't see no clay. Yes, always I said to myself, if I ever get to the city, I'm going to go up and see that fella Blackie.
Oh, he's sure a fella I'd like to meet.
Well, that's very flattering, Tiny. I hope I can return the compliment someday.
Well, you sure can. You can come and see me wrestle at the Stretcher Lewis at the arena tonight.
You're wrestling Stretcher Lewis?
Yep.
Are you any good?
Good? Oh, kind, I guess. Shake hands with me, Blackie.
Okay, here's my hand. Hey, wait a minute.
Not too bad.
Hey, Blackie, I didn't hurt you, did I? I'll let you know after I take inventory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Say, you ought to go. Excuse me a minute.
Why, sure.
Hello.
Hello, is Tiny Mountain there? He left a message at his hotel that he might be there.
Yes, he's here. Just a minute.
But never mind, I don't want to speak to him. Is this Boston Blackie?
Yes.
This is Bill Chase, Tiny's manager.
And you don't want to speak to him?
No, and I don't want to speak to you either.
Well, what...
All I want you to do is keep away from Tiny. You're no good for him. And Blackie.
Yes?
If you don't, it won't be any good for you.
You wait out here, Tess.
Okay.
I'd better see Chase alone.
Sure, Stretcher, but please don't be long.
No, I won't.
Even if you're only away from me a minute, I miss you.
I know.
Oh, gee, but you're big and strong.
Here, feel my muscle. Go ahead, reach up and feel my muscle.
Oh, I don't have to. I know how strong my man is.
You can say that again.
I know how strong my man is.
Well, I got to wrestle Tiny Mountain tonight, and I got to see his manager right now.
Okay.
I'll see you in a minute, baby.
Gee.
You can say that again.
Come in.
Hiya, Mr. Chase.
Oh, Stretcher, come in.
Sure.
You've got my message, I see.
Yeah?
I suppose you know what it's about.
I can sort of guess.
Good. How's Farber?
As no good a guy as ever. But he's still the best manager in the business. I'm sticking with him.
Then how can you work for me?
Look, Farber won't squawk no matter what I do. I got enough on him to send him to jail for the rest of his good-for-nothing life.
Oh, that's what it is it?
Yep.
Well, then we can do business, can't we?
Sure. This new boy of yours good? Will he look good?
Tiny Mountain will look like a champion the minute he steps across the ropes. And he's big enough to step across them, too.
Okay, it's a deal, Mr. Chase. I'll lay down for that boy of yours for the dough you promised me. I'll lay down so good for him that they'll have to carry me out.
That, Stretch, is the general idea.
Oh, Blackie, that Tiny Mountain is wonderful.
He puts on a good act. But he is strong, Mary, as my aching back reminds me.
I wish I'd seen him throw you across your apartment.
I wish I'd seen him. It happened so fast, I'd made a landing before I knew I'd even taken off.
Oh, Blackie, look! Tiny spins Stretcher's shoulders to the mat. The referee's patting Tiny on the back.
That's it, then. Tiny wins.
Yahoo! Oh, look. Look at the other wrestler. He's still out.
Just part of the act, Mary.
Part of the act? They're putting him on a stretcher.
That could be one of the reasons they call him Stretcher.
Huh?
He either stretches the other guy or goes out on a stretcher.
But Blackie's lying so still.
He'll come to the minute he's alone in his dressing room. Come on, let's go down there and I'll show you. I want to see him anyhow and find out if Tiny is really as good as he looks. Well, that must be the stretcher's dressing room door down there. Where the crowd is, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of excitement there.
There's always excitement around the dressing rooms after a big match.
Blackie, there seems to be something wrong.
Oh, Mary.
Well, I can just tell.
Has somebody gone for the doctor?
Blackie, yeah. Did you hear that?
Still just part of the act.
Well, get that doctor here in a hurry. The stretcher's been hurt.
Blackie, what did I tell you?
Wait, I'll show you. Let us through, please.
Right.
Let us through.
Hey, you can't come in here.
You sent for a doctor, didn't you?
Oh, well, that's different. Come on in, Doc. I'm John Farber, stretcher's manager.
Wait here, Mary.
Yeah, okay.
He's over on the table, Doc. Only he's lying pretty still.
Farber, you're carrying this act a little far, aren't you?
I don't know.
Okay, Stretcher, wake up.
I don't think he can hear you, Doc. Unless he's found a way of breathing without a heartbeat. Stretcher's dead.
All right, room. Everybody out. Come on, get moving, you guys. Out of here. Hey, you, Farber.
Yes, Inspector Faraday.
Find Tiny Mountain. Tell him I want to see him in here and stretch his dressing room.
I'm going for him right now, Inspector.
Well, Faraday, what do you think?
I think I always have trouble when I find you, Blackie. What do you know about this?
Nothing, which makes it even. I saw Tiny Mountain wrestle the late Stretcher Lewis tonight. I saw him win, and I came down here to find Lewis dead with a broken neck.
Yeah, so you sent for me. All I can say is the wrong guy has a broken neck.
Inspector, please. You know I'm sensitive.
Yeah, well, look, sensitive. Leave everything where it is. Leave that towel on the floor.
I forgot to tell you, I'm not only sensitive, I'm sanitary.
Yeah.
I want to clean up this place a little bit. Looks bad for the medical examiner the way it is.
Yeah, I'd like to clean you up, not just a little bit. Leave those Indian clubs alone.
Just straightening them out, Inspector. One of them was upside down.
First you're sensitive, then you're sanitary. Now you're symmetrical. Don't try to make anything of this, Blackie. I'm going to hold Tiny Mountain on a technical manslaughter charge. He accidentally killed Stretcher while they were wrestling.
Maybe.
What?
That's what I said, maybe.
Meaning?
Maybe Stretcher was murdered after he was thrown in the ring. And if he was, I'm going to throw his killer for a loss.
Come in.
Hello, Chase.
Oh, Farber, come in.
Say,
isn't that my wrestler, Mike, you have with you?
Right. Gonna take the Stretcher's place. On a Stretcher, of course. Very funny.
Sorry about what happened to Stretcher. He was the best wrestler you ever managed, Farber.
This guy's gonna work for me better.
Meaning what?
Meaning he won't come to you and promise to lay down for your boy, Tiny.
No? Maybe he will. He knows what Stretcher knew about you.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, and so do I. I got a surprise for you, Farber.
Oh, that's nice.
Stretcher told me what he knew about you. Now, anything I can do for you?
You're lying, Chase. You don't know anything about me. And there is something you can do for me.
Huh?
Your boy Tiny is going to take a dive for my new boy here.
Tiny doesn't dive for anyone.
No? All right. Mike.
Yeah, Mr. Farber.
Mike, show Chase here how you want his boy to take a fall.
All right.
Hey,
no. Here's the way to do it.
That's enough for now, Mike.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Farber.
Now, Chase, remember this. If the Stretcher's neck can break, so can yours. And Mike here's waiting only for me to tell him that it's Jake with me.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Stretcher Lewis, wrestler, makes a deal to lose to manager Bill Chase's new grappler, Tiny Mountain. Lewis, however, loses not only the fight, but his life as well, when he dies in his dressing room of a broken neck. Tiny is being held temporarily on a charge of manslaughter. Meanwhile, the dead wrestler's manager has threatened Bill Chase with death if Tiny wins his next match. As we return to our story, Chase has just been given a beating by his rival's new wrestler, Mike.
You'd be sorry you turned Mike loose on me, Farber.
I am.
I wasn't kidding when I said Stretcher had told me what he had on you.
What about Tiny? Does he lay down to Mike or not?
Tiny won't lay down for anybody.
He better.
When he gets out of that technical charge the police have on him, he'll wrestle clean.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I guess this guy hasn't had enough.
I'll give him plenty this time, Mr. Farber.
Now, wait a minute. Remember, Stretcher told me what he knows about you. Now I know it. You want me to go to the police about it?
That does it. Go to work, Mike.
With pleasure. Come here, you. Back.
Hey, what's going on here?
Hold it, Mike. Hold it.
Oh, and I was having so much fun.
Why don't you pick on someone your own size?
I don't know who you are, but thanks for coming.
I'm Boston Blackie.
You're the guy who said he was a doctor in Stretcher's dressing room.
What do you want? A medal for remembering?
That'd be nice.
You.
Huh?
You must be Bill Chase.
Yeah. You know Farber. This is Mike, Farber's new wrestler. He was giving me a workout when you came in.
Hey, Mr. Farber, I could do the same thing for Blackie. No extra charge.
Anytime you want, Mike, including right now.
Why,
hold
you...
it, Mike, hold it.
Smart manager, Farber. Look, I came down here to talk to Chase so I could get Tiny Mountain out of jail, but it looks like I got Chase out of a jam.
What about it?
Nothing right now, Farber. But after I get Tiny out of jail, maybe I know who's going to take his place.
Oh, yeah?
A precious little guy named you.
Tiny, the coroner's report states that Stretcher Lewis died of a broken neck.
Yeah.
But in the wrestling business, that could be an accident. There you can go.
Well, thanks, Sheriff Faraday. That sure is mighty nice of you. But how did the fella get his neck broke? I don't think I did it.
Well, it could have been when his head hit the mat before you pinned him.
Hmm.
And look, take my advice, Tony. Go back to the farm.
Huh?
Back where you came from.
Oh.
Get out of wrestling.
Oh, no.
Away from men like Chase and Farmer.
Oh, no. I like wrestling, Sheriff. Anyhow, I'm broke.
Well, it's your life. Go ahead, wrestle. I can't stop you. Only don't kill anybody else. As a favor to me.
Huh?
Unless, of course, it should happen to be Boston Blackie.
Hello, Tiny. May I come in?
Oh,
I'm
sure.
John Farber, the wrestling manager. Maybe you've heard of
him. Well, can't say as I have, Mr. Farber.
Well, I want to talk to you, Tiny. All right if I come in?
Oh, sure.
Thanks. Nice room you have here.
Thank you.
Better than the jail you just got out of.
Yeah, it sure is, but I sure do miss the smell of my hay back home.
Like it out on the farm, do you?
Yep, sure do.
Now tell me something, Tiny.
Yep.
Why'd you come to the city to wrestle?
Well, I can't wrestle with nothing but horses out on the farm. Besides, they told me I'd make myself some money wrestling in the city for Mr. Chase.
That's right, Tiny. You'll make money wrestling. And you can keep right on working for Chase, but do what I tell you and you'll be rich inside a year.
Hmm. Well, I didn't get much book lining, Mr. Farber, but that don't sound right to me.
Oh, look, I'll explain, Tiny. You wrestle for Chase, but I'll tell you when you should win or lose.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was what you was getting at. Now I think you'd better be getting out.
Now, wait, Tiny. It's being done
all... It ain't being done by me. Now, if you don't walk out that door right now, mister, you're going to be sorry. Because I've got a hankering to throw you right through it. And I ain't one to fight off my hankering.
Blackie, you want me to answer the door for you?
Yes, if you don't mind, Mary. It's probably Tiny Mountain. Faraday phoned and said he'd released him a little while ago.
Is this Boston Blackie's place?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Let me see him, huh?
Well, you just come in.
Oh, thanks.
Only I want to be with him when he sees you.
Uh-huh.
Blackie!
Yes?
There's a lady here to see you.
Oh? Well, I don't know who it... Well, hello.
Oh, Blackie, my name's Tess. Stretcher Lewis was my sweetheart. We were going to get married next week. And I want you to find out who killed him.
The police think it was an accident.
Oh, it wasn't an accident.
Mm-hmm. Really?
The stretcher was too strong, Blackie. No fall would have broken his neck. Oh, he was awfully strong, Blackie. What? Just like you.
Something in your eye, Mary?
Heartburn.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think killed Stretcher, Tess?
Well, Farber hated Stretcher. Stretch knew something about him. Oh, but I don't know that Farber killed him.
Neither do I, but you've given me an extra reason for thinking he did. The towel on the dressing room floor, the Indian club upside down. Let's suppose that Stretcher was alive when he was carried into the dressing room after the match.
Mm-hmm. Go on, Blackie.
Well, simple. Farber was alone with him. Could have hit him on the back of the neck with the Indian club using the towel so there wouldn't be an obvious bruise. Say, Mary, that's it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Gee, Blackie, can I do anything to help prove it was Farber?
See what information you can get to help me. Although proving Farber killed your grappler is one problem, I think I'm going to have to wrestle with myself.
Get a hammerlock on him, Mike.
Yeah, like this.
A good tight one. A wagon could squeeze with the grip he got on him now. Ah, that's better. All right, now, Mike, pound the mat like you're in agony. And pound it harder.
That's it.
That's it. Now, yell, cry, do something.
Oh, oh, oh.
Good, good.
Mr. Farber. Oh,
hello, Tess. Okay, Mike, lay off for a while. Rest up your voice. Well, Tess, what goes?
You better do something about Blackie, Mr. Farber.
Mm.
I just want to see him like you told me to. And if you don't do something about him, what goes is you. To jail?
Oh, Oh, Blackie, I've never seen one person eat as much as Tiny Mountain did at dinner tonight.
He's a big boy, Mary.
Oh.
And besides, you're a good cook.
I wonder what I put in that roast. He's been sleeping in your bedroom ever since.
He just tired himself out eating. Well, I might be tested with some information on Father. I'll get the door.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope you get the information.
Same here.
Hello, Blackie.
Father's gorilla wrestling Mike,
huh? Yep, Mike. And I'm coming in.
Oh, you. No, you're not.
Who says I ain't?
All right. You're in.
Wait till you see how all in you're going to be.
Blackie, I think I'll leave and...
Yes, Mary, good idea.
No, you don't, lady. You stay right here. You ain't going for the police, and nobody's calling the police. Because I'm pulling the phone right out of the wall.
Hey. There. You seem to be pretty strong, Mike.
Well, Mr. Farber said for me to show you just how strong.
Oh, I get it.
You don't yet, but you will. You sent Tess to find out stuff from Mr. Farber, but she's working for us.
I didn't tell Tess anything.
You told her enough. You know who killed Stretcher Lewis. You know how. You know why. You probably know Farber's real name ain't Farber. It's Hitchcock. He's wanted in Frisco for grand larceny.
Look, Mike, if you wouldn't talk so much,
Mr.
you'd...
Farber says for me to see that you don't live to tell what you know to anybody else. And that I take care of right now.
This will stop you.
Oh, are you kidding? That clip wouldn't hurt a flea.
I think I'm going to have a little trouble.
Blackie, look. Look who woke up. Look who's standing in the bedroom door.
Howdy, Blackie. I see you got company.
Honey, the Marines have landed.
You got the kid on your side.
Get out of the way, Blackie.
Yeah, move
drop
back.
Drop this fella right on his
you
face.
You drop.
No, Blackie.
Come on, Tiny.
I know it, Mary. I guess this is up to me.
Well, I'll do worse to you than I did to him.
Well, we'll see about that.
The idea, Mary. Maybe this is the part.
Oh, you're awful funny, Blackie.
Why aren't you laughing at
me? Oh, spoiled Blackie. You knocked him out.
Yeah, I did. I did?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you know?
Well, that isn't important. What do you know?
Well, I know why Farber killed the stretcher, thanks to Mike here and his big mouth. And I think it's time I picked him up off the floor and picked Farber up for murder.
Well, I think this calls for celebration, Tess. Mike's probably murdered Blackie by now.
Oh, gee, if he has, then you'll need another wrestler.
Hmm?
Mike will go to jail, Mr. Farber. Oh, he was so strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen enough of this dressing room for a while. Come in.
Hello, Farmer.
Blackie.
I thought...
You thought I'd be in the hospital by now, or in a morgue, didn't you, Ted? Thanks for the double cross. I'll do the same for you sometime.
What do you want, Blackie?
You, Father, for murder. You killed Stretcher Lewis. As soon as you had him alone in there, you got him to turn over for his rub down, put a towel on the back of his neck, and hit him with one of those Indian clubs on the wall there.
Oh, I did I? Well, since you know so much, Blackie, can you tell me which club I used?
Sure. The one that was hanging upside down. You put it back in too much of a hurry.
Well, I have time to get it again and put it down on your skull, love.
Mr. Farber, don't!
He won't. Oh. Farber, we're fine. That Indian club in your hand is what put the Indian sign on you.
Blackie, it says in the paper here that Tiny Mountain won his match last night.
Yes, I read it. He's going to win all his matches and become champion, Mary. That boy can wrestle.
He couldn't when he tried to throw Mike in your apartment.
I handled him pretty well, didn't I?
He went down. You had to hit him 6 or 7 times, but he went down finally.
He sure did. A couple of right-hand punches can take care of the wrong guy every time.
Mm-hmm, if they're backed up by a poker.
What does that mean?
Where was I when you were trying to make an impression with your fist on Mike's jaw?
Well, I don't know. Circling around, doing something.
Doing something? I was doing everything. You were too busy clipping Mike to notice that I hit him on the head with a poker.
just as you threw your last punch.
Well, Mother's little helper, I didn't know that. There I was thinking I'd knocked him out with my pokes when all the time you'd done it with your little poker.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the Wrestling Ring Murder. Interesting little episode, and there are many Boston Blackie episodes that you can get off of archive.org. Just type in Boston Blackie, you'll get the whole series. They play very easily right off the site, or you can download and keep them because it's an open source, they're open source audio files. So many interesting shows on there. I'll make a comment here in the last minute about the Indian club that was the murder weapon in this particular episode. If you never had the pleasure of exercising with an Indian club from India, the nation, not Native Americans or American Indians, but it sure changes the nature of your workout because the weight is all extended out out in front some distance, and it causes a different type of muscle development and strength and grip strength that's absolutely incredible. So if you run across somebody who's done a lot of exercising with Indian clubs, be very cautious if you're in a combat situation, should we say. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this week. Look at the show billing and see what we have scheduled for next week, and I'm sure we'll be meeting again, and we'll have Vera Lynn take us off tonight one more time.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know. Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing. We meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.